You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 25 June. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we're chatting with Alex Dace. A lot to talk about: markets under pressure, budgets, and more capital raises. Stephen Engelbrecht on Foschini Group results. He liked the results, but I think he's not so big a fan on discretionary spending stocks generally in South Africa. And then we've got Samuel Karorosa. He's talking Afrimat, possible play for infrastructure spending going forward. Some morning headlines: MoneyWeb, Brait sees pandemic delay the Virgin Active sale. And from CNBC, Qantas to cut 6,000 jobs and raise $1.3 billion due to virus outbreak. Morning markets, or overnight markets, the US was red. We had the S&P down 2.6%, NASDAQ down 2.2%, Asia also red, Sydney off 1.7%, Tokyo off 1.3%. Commodities mixed, no big movers. The platinum group metals are slightly up, gold flat, and the rest a little red. The rand, 17.44 to the dollar, and JSE opening call for about a 0.4% red opening.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Alex Dace. He's a portfolio manager at Mthombo Wealth. Alex, appreciate your time this morning. To quickly touch on the supplementary budget from Minister Mboweni yesterday, pretty much as expected, frankly, a bit of a horror show. The rand liked it initially and then sold off a bit. The market was already red. I suppose the currency and the market kind of saw this coming. We knew it was going to be a horror show from the minister and kind of shrugged it off.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Yes, so certainly when the real big budget is going to be, the medium-term budget is going to come out in October. We're especially going to see all the details and so forth. Of what exactly is going to be done to reposition the budget and so forth. I think something to take note of in yesterday's discussion is the numbers were very bad, in some cases worse than expected. But if you look at the last 10 years, we've almost every single time underperformed of what we have said in the budget forecast and so forth. So this is probably the best case scenario, I think, that was set out yesterday. It was very gloomy indeed. So certainly a lot of things to be concerned about, and some serious decisions need to be made by the government. Otherwise, we are in for a fiscal cap, and all sorts of problems will lie ahead, as Tito clearly warned as well in his discussion.
Yeah, and he used the phrase that South Africa will shortly fall into a sovereign debt crisis if we do not act urgently. Urgently and correctly, I would add to that as well at the same time. Strong sell-off in the US last night. More IMF woes downgrading global growth to minus 4.9 from a earlier number of minus 3. US are looking for minus 8% for the year. The EU minus 10.2% for the year. These are staggering numbers. Coupled with coronavirus outbreaks growing in the US, US markets under pressure. Alex, so far, the play for this has been when the US sells off. Frankly, you pick it up because, you know, don't fight the Fed. There's liquidity in the market. The news might be bad, but markets tend to shake that off and start trending higher again.
Yes, despite the big pullback yesterday, the markets are still very strong month to date. And I also read that, you know, about $100 billion has been shifted from U.S. money market funds into U.S. equities during the course of this month. And there's still a lot more to come, as you say, from a liquidity perspective. So it is very likely you'll see a continued rally. But there are some concerns being picking up that, you know, as you mentioned, infections are rising again. And I think more important to note here is that it's normally the first wave still happening in the U.S. So it's not like this is a second wave coming and so forth. So you could still see some surprises down the line. But all the liquidity around, I mean, fundamentals doesn't really make that much sense at the moment anyway.
Yeah, it's a weird space. But as you say, fundamentals aren't the story at this point in time. Liquidity is driving a whole bunch. RMB unbundled their First Rand stake yesterday. That's where the share markedly down, but that's because shareholders got First Rand. They've got some property left that they're going to sort of unlock the value. They're going to ultimately look to delist. Have you dug into the numbers? Is there some value perhaps here? I know initially they were saying that that excluding the first rand stake, maybe it was around a 3.30 rand valuation. That was a pre-lockdown valuation, of course. Is it something you've looked into and crunched numbers on?
Yeah, from a valuation perspective, it doesn't seem to be expensive at this particular stage. But they don't have too much control of these assets and the like, so there's always a little bit of a discount tied into that. And obviously fundamentals in the property space is not looking great either. Mm-hmm. So I guess if you want to be patient, I mean, and I believe management can unlock some value, that perhaps there's an opportunity, but I probably would be thinking, if you want to invest in asset property, I think there are better opportunities in my view.
And then lastly, Harmony out with, just as the market closed yesterday, literally another day this week, another capital raise, in their case, $200 million. That's just short of 3.5 billion rand. They're probably going to place them. But Alex, these book raises are with capital raises, either via a sort of rights issue or good old-fashioned book build, they're coming thick and fast. And we've been talking about it all week, and at some point, I don't know, investors are going to tire of it.
Yes, and they're also quite far behind the curve here in South Africa. Of course, they've been issuing capital quite a lot in the UK and the US, and they said there was a lot of talk of when this is going to happen now. So it's finally starting to happen. As you said, there's only a finite amount of capital in SA, so the first ones are probably going to get the best chance. And I think there's also more and more examples of potential issues which might not succeed. For example, the one of City Lodge, I think there's no guarantee that they're going to raise that particular capital. And there's more to come from the different businesses. So the one of Harmony has been communicated before, as they were looking to do the acquisition of the AngloGold assets, as they say. So, and also the gold price being so well. So I think that one will be fully subscribed. But some of the new ones are still to emerge. I think it could be under pressure, specifically maybe in the property space and a couple of other industrial players. But... certainly interesting times at the moment from a capital raise perspective.
Yeah, and as you point out, I mean, you mentioned the property stocks. We haven't even seen them come into market yet. And make no mistake, there's a lot of property companies. You're going to need some storing up of their balance sheets. Alex Dace, always appreciate chatting to you. Thanks very much for your time.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Stefan Engelbrecht. He's a fund manager at Anchor Capital. Stefan, appreciate your time. I saw a note you put out on the Ficini Group, and we'll come to the conclusion at the end. But broadly, not a bad set of numbers. A slight upside beat. Margins are holding. Cash flow, free cash flow remains strong. Of course, this is to end of March, which only gives us sort of one quasi month in the lockdown pandemic period. But decent numbers was my take from Ficini Group.
Yeah, good morning. It was really quite a surprisingly strong set of numbers. And as you highlighted just now, it was predominantly in the gross margin where Ficini held quite well. They also gave a very nice breakup of the 11-month versus 12-month performance. And you can see how well they performed for the 11 months up to March, up to the lockdown. But also how severely this lockdown is impacting the discretionary retailers of South Africa.
Yeah, it's that discretionary. I'll come to that in a second. They're certainly battening down. I mean, their target is 6 billion rand in total savings. I mean, that's a giant number. They're proposing a possible almost 4 billion rights issue. It's staggering that they can find 6 billion to save, and some of it's going to be operational, to take out of the business. I mean, lockdown aside, it almost suggests that perhaps there was maybe a little too much fat floating around. Was that not a fair comment to them?
Yeah, I must say, it's 6% of their total operating expenditure. So it is a significant number. That's the 1 billion rand that they're trying to save operating expenditure. And we'll see when it happens. I don't think the market is already giving them the entire benefit of that that savings. It's almost a little bit like the South African budget where they keep on talking about savings that's going to come through. But, if they can take that type of savings out of the number, then hats off to them, and then it can be quite a surprising set of numbers going forward.
Yeah, to your point, numbers are easy. Let's see some hard facts before we get too excited. But in short, I mean, they're doing a lot right, but you know, there's a pandemic. Let's not get overexcited here. Your ultimate conclusion is that you're not particularly excited about exposure to SA discretionary spending sector, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, aside from lockdown, we're seeing unemployment, and that's still for Q1. Q2 is going to be a horror show. It is exceedingly tough out there for the South African consumer, and companies such as the Foschini Group, even notwithstanding solid set of numbers, they're going to bear the brunt of this, and that discretionary spending sector is going to be under significant pressure.
Yes, I mean, it's on two levels where we're really struggling to get excited about the discretionary spend. It firstly, as you say, the consumer is under a lot of pressure. So there is just no money that they can go and spend on stuff that they would like to have, not that what they need. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it's also how to manage. It's unprecedented times. So to manage your merchandise, to manage your stock levels, it's very difficult to manage your gross margin in this period. And we're very worried about what the type of sales that we might see at the back end of this pandemic from companies being overstocked with their merchandise during this period, and the consequential effect of that later on. So it's those two combinations that makes us feel much more comfortable to sit a little bit on the sideline. We still believe long-term value is there in the South African discretionary retailers, but in the interim, we think the numbers are going to be quite hair-raising as we see these numbers coming through after the lockdown. And we'll like to see you sit on the sidelines in the interim.
And you make a great point there. I mean, you know, this pandemic happened suddenly. I mean, we're not even 4 months yet into our first case in South Africa. A lot of this stock levels and the like, this is planning that would have been happening late last year. You make the point that perhaps your one exception in the discretionary space would be Mr. Price. They've been, apart from two sort of modest stumbles in the last couple of years, they typically have been sort of one of the princes of South African clothing retail, particularly in the cash and lower end market.
Yeah, listen, they have had a few, as they call it, fashion misses over the past few years, Mr. Price. And we don't know whether it's by luck. It probably is a little bit, but they definitely, the reason why we prefer Mr. Price, if you would like to get discretionary retail exposure, is just, well, we'll see now. They're going to report their numbers today. It's just that they came through on the into this pandemic in the strongest position. So they already had significant cash balance. They were the first one to react and say that we perhaps need to shore up our balance sheet mm-hmm. even more so with their capital raise. So it just feels that company is a little bit more front foot to the other South African retailers, which were still putting out fires, thinking about the Woolworths, Truworths, and the like. They were actually putting out fires already before the pandemic, and then the pandemic struck. So you need to be on the front foot. You need to be proactive to be able to manage through this.
Yeah, I like that point. If you were struggling before the pandemic, it's going to be 10 times worse. If you were at least in a decent position ahead of the pandemic, it puts you in the right place. Stefan Engelbrecht, Fund Manager, Anchor Capital. Appreciate your time, sir.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
CEO of Vinani Corporate Finance on the line, Sam Mokorosa. Sam, appreciate your time. I've been pondering around all the spending around potential spending. Let's be clear, the government is promising we need to see the cash in the bank accounts around infrastructure. It makes obvious sense for many reasons. And my thinking was, where do we benefit? Is it PPC? Is it the construction stocks? My thoughts came probably to Afrimat. And I know it's a stock that you've looked over before. They certainly, I mean, is it fair to say that perhaps they will be best positioned in the South African environment should we start getting some infrastructure spend coming through?
You know, look, I mean, you were talking about Mr. Price being well positioned just before mm-hmm. COVID. And Afrimat is another company that went into COVID having done very well. Look, mostly on the back of iron ore, but we do like the construction story. We do like the promises that are coming out of government to say that the long-awaited infrastructure push needs to come through. And so Afrimat has been doing well. You know, their share price is already, you know, up since the lows that we saw in sort of April, March, you know, jumping up from sort of 23 Rand up to about 30 Rand now. And yeah, we think that they've still got more to go. Iron ore prices also supporting that that stock. So the combination of the construction and the iron ore makes Afrimat still a picker for us.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. I mean, and a really good management team. I mean, you mentioned iron ore. I remember when they did that, Andries van Heerden and his team did that deal, and I scratched my head. But I mean, the short answer is, and I've actually chatted to Andries about it on the show, they are perhaps the deal making team in on the JSC. They've just got a stellar track record, and that positions them well. They do the right deals, and they run the business incredibly well. And you can't help thinking that perhaps there might be another deal or two. They're busy concluding the Unicorn Capital. It's a small little deal, but maybe some more out there for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, they've been doing well at buying at the right times, doing good deals. And you know, I think the iron ore story is really around their core competency to do open cast mining.
Yeah.
You know, so whether they're mining construction material, you know, aggregates, etc., or whether they're mining iron ore, it's kind of similar mindset, and I think that's kept them well. And as you're saying, some good deal making as well.
Yeah, and that iron ore, as you said, has propped them up, and it almost gives you, if the infrastructure does come through, they're well placed. Iron ore is almost that sort of cream on the top, so to speak. What about others in our construction space? I mean, we've got PPC, we've got Wilson Bailey, Steph Stocks. Heck, I mean, Avengers still there, but only just. I mean, is there any other construction stocks that perhaps you would be interested in, or is it really just going to be a slim pickings in a sector that's had a tough decade?
Yeah, no, it has been really a tough a few years. I mean, we saw Basil Reed go into business rescue, Group 5 go to business rescue. So for now, I think we're gonna just focus on Afrimat and see where that goes. You know, hopefully this promised infrastructure ramp up is going to be a tide that lifts all the shifts, and so gets a lot of other construction companies out of trouble. But for now, we're sticking with the Afrimat.
Yeah, and it is a case of, I mean, I suspect as a country, in the World Cup, in the lead up to the World Cup, massive capacity was created. We've lost a lot of that capacity. But I suspect as well, I mean, you know, I focus, and as I imagine you do, we're focusing on the listed space. There certainly is some activity in the unlisted space, not investable, but perhaps some skill sets there. Otherwise, frankly, implementing infrastructure becomes a serious challenge for our government.
Yeah, look, you know, when we were looking at Group 5 probably 2-3 years ago, you know, one of the managers there said that the days of your large sort of, you know, 15,000 strong workforce in one single construction company are probably over, and that you need these smaller players that are a lot more nimble, you know, kind of a couple of thousand staff here and there. And I think we still have a lot of that. You'll remember that a lot of our skills emigrated to the Middle East.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, they also had their own issues with the last financial crisis, and so some of those skills are looking for homes at this specific time, especially with the halt in the global economy. I think that you know, we're probably going to be in a skills supply oversupply globally, and so I think it should be easy enough to get some of those skills.
Yeah, there's a thought. I hadn't thought of that. You know, we lost skills, but perhaps suddenly there is space for them to coming back. Another small little nimble one, perhaps, quickly, the last question. Rabex, I mean, they've managed to hold through. They specialize particularly in road, but they do some infrastructure as like. They could also perhaps be a play here.
Yeah. We like Rabex. You know, the performance over sort of the last little while, I mean, it's been strong. recovery. It's now back to sort of pre-COVID levels, if you want to call it that. Mm-hmm. And so I think markets starting to see the economy opening up and liking the likes of Robex.
Yeah, okay. So there's some there. I mean, you used to have a giant construction industry and absolutely no more. Really appreciate your time this morning. That was Sam Morokosi. You find him, CEO of Vinani Corporate Finance. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. at moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app. Podcasts, where all good podcasts are aggregated, available from 7 a.m. You can chat to us on social media, Twitter, Facebook. Use the hashtag MoneyWebNow. My thanks to you for listening. My guests for availing themselves in an early morning. Producer Cordora, sound engineer Eddie. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.